All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey, Burke and I are here to welcome you back to part two.
Welcome to the law firm of Davis and Davis. We're not a real law firm. Go ahead, grab a beer, a glass of wine, sit back and listen.
Not the best intro song, because we want to listen to the whole dang thing.
Sorry. I said, Burke was sitting there watching me, and I'm like, I
jammed out.
Yeah. I get into this jam because it reminds me of my first marriage. And I mean, whenever I hear that song, it's like, I've got to hear the whole thing. I'm sorry.
Like Cartman and Come Sail Away.
We'll edit that in post. So I actually cut the last segment short.
Okay.
Because on my phone here.
Yes. What do we have on our phone?
I have a tracker on the Svetlana. And I wanted to get a pipe smoke in before she got home.
I thought you got busted already.
Yeah, I did, but I won't smoke in forever. I won't do it. I think it's dirty, and I don't like the fact that I'm smoking again, but I enjoy the hell out of it.
Yeah. Wife found that.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
How'd that go over?
Better than I thought. But I'm in the same boat. Won't
do it in forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, at some point in time, I will come to reality and go, okay, I gotta quit. But damn, I like it. Makes me cough like shit and all that, but damn,
it feels good.
It feels so damn good. Hey, I didn't mention this, and I have to, because I'm using our audience as like a something to smack me upside the head. I gained 6 pounds.
Yeah,
with the wedding.
Dude, do not beat yourself up. That's the biggest thing. Like, if you're trying to lose weight, you're gonna have setbacks. You're gonna have events that are gonna set you back. Don't worry about it. Just go back to whatever you were doing before, and you're gonna start losing it. You'll be all right. And like, I've been. The hell's that? Did you not mute your phone?
No, that was the security system saying, hey, somebody's at your front door.
I wonder who it could be.
No, the wedding had barbecued brisket, had barbecued sausage, had chicken and waffles, had a s'mores station.
Oh, god damn.
Had key lime pie.
Oh, I've gained more than 6 pounds, man. I think you did good. Holy hell. Oh god, that sounds good.
Oh my god, dude.
I've been eating this rabbit food now for 2 weeks. I swear I was gaining weight. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Finally, like, got on the scale.
Emotional damage. What the hell you say?
Finally, got on the scale tonight. I was like, okay, I'm down 3 pounds. It's about time. But yeah, it gets worse every year, man.
It's getting harder and harder.
No,
and,
yeah.
And I mean, I'm on a diet where all I eat is chicken and I cut out all the sugar except for alcohol.
Same.
But Bert got me on the cutting out the sugar. Bert,
it's the weirdest thing. Isn't that not the weirdest thing? Like, the first 2 weeks, you're dying for it.
Yeah.
You look at anything chocolate, you're like, oh god, I want it so bad. And then like 3 weeks later, you're like, meh.
Yeah, you know, we don't endorse products and stuff like that. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, we do.
Sparkling ice from Sam's Club or Costco. Both of them carry it. There's that security system.
I'll tell you what. I went to the store with my wife the other day, which I do maybe once every month or two, right? You know,
you still go out with her?
Yeah, I kind of like her. She's been my wife for a while. She's okay. But anyway, went out. I saw a squirt in diet. I'm like, oh god, that sounds really good. I grabbed some of that. I got the orange, sun-kissed orange in diet.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was diet 7-Up cherry. And I'm like, oh, screw it. I'm just grabbing all these things. Dude, I have forgotten how good squirt is. Because it's almost as good as the
squirt. Squirt was always good.
Soda. Yeah. Yeah. It's grapefruit soda. It's almost as good as the ice grapefruit. It might even be a little bit better because it's a little more intense. I just mix up a little bit of vodka with the orange squirt or the orange sunkiss. Oh man, it is tasty as all get out.
God. I
turn your stuff off.
Okay, so I am gonna tell this story. I have to. We were at the wedding, and the only way that I could get Svetlana to come to the wedding was if I promised to dance with her, because I don't dance. I have very bad very bad balance. Burke learned that in Put and Bay because I kept falling over on the dance floor.
I learned that my leg muscles can't hold me up for very long because I'm fat.
So so I go out on the song comes on. Great song. I think it was Journey. And I go out there and I start dancing. And within 30 seconds, I hear, please go sit down.
You're trying your best.
I was like, I'm trying to dance with you. Please go sit down. Okay.
I promised I would dance with you. Yep. And you fulfilled your promise. GTFO.
Dude, I'm telling you, I hate getting old. I hate getting old. I stood in front of the mirror the other day and I was like, where the fuck did my legs go? Because I used to have like really big thighs. Golfed a lot, did a lot bicycling, all that stuff. Yeah,
bicycling will do it, man. I used to have thighs of thunder back in the day because I mean I would bike up Merriman Hill without stopping.
Well,
I
used to ride my bike from Medina to Akron.
Damn.
I used to do 32 to 45 miles a day.
I was big on the whole uphill thing because, like, La Jolla, the golf course.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so from north of there, you have to go up PCH. It is a 1.5-mile hill on a 10-speed bike. You have to be in the lowest gear, stand on the pedals the whole way up.
Yeah.
I didn't even have a racing bike. I had my dad's. It was a decent 10 speed. It wasn't a great, but it was a decent one. I made it up that hill without stopping. And there's like dudes in biker outfits and helmets and the, you know, the tight pants, walking their damn bikes up the hill. And I'm like, hey, what's up? It's just like, I made the whole damn hill.
My bike was a 1984 Olympics bike, steel framed. 10 speed. I thought I was the shit. I really did. Crap bike, I find out.
Yeah. These guys are riding bikes they can lift up with one finger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I used to ride that thing from my house back roads through Copley all the way to the University of Akron.
Ugh.
Oh, I know. That's a hell of a track.
Yes.
But I was a huge biker. Dude, I looked in the mirror the other day. I was like, what the hell are those?
Somebody stuck chicken legs on my fat ass.
What the? Okay, getting old sucks. It does. When I was 300 pounds, getting old was okay because I still had shape and all that. I've lost weight and I'm like, where the fuck are my legs?
The fat's all gone. It's nothing but muscle. The muscle's all gone.
What the hell?
I want to get some Mountain Dew. Yeah, sure. That's in the fridge over there. Thank you. I'll just take one.
What the hell
you
hit the wrong button, sir.
That's all right. Well, wait, how far away from work do you live?
Here?
Yeah.
2.5 miles.
Dude, buy a bike.
This is not the place to own a bike.
Okay.
People around here cannot drive.
Mm.
You will get run over. Like, I had my brother-in-law live here for 2 years. He got run over twice.
Woo.
Riding a bike less than a mile.
That's no bueno.
Yeah. People around here do not know how to drive. I'm about to shut off my security system.
Apparently, or at least just the notification.
Apparently, people want to keep coming in, going out.
Yeah. Anyway, we should get back to the task. We're only halfway through.
I'm picking my nose, man. Go ahead.
Okay. So anyway,
I know what the next show is.
What's the next show?
The Toy.
Oh, the next movie. Got it. Yes, The Toy with Richard Pryor. Oh, and
great. This is a great flick.
Well, yeah, on the surface and your old memories would say, yes, it is a great movie. However, what was the premise of this in 1982?
Well, I'll let you explain that because I just looked at it and I'm laughing the whole time.
So a rich white guy, Jackie Gleason, decides to hire or buy
a black man.
A black man. To take care of his kid.
The hell, that's for white people.
It's the only time that soundbite is actually
truly irrelevant. Oh my God. And the young kid in question is Scott Schwartz, who actually showed up in A Christmas Story as Flick. I knew him from somewhere.
Oh, wait, that was Flick?
Yeah. That was a little kid that Richard Pryor was hired to. Yeah, it's just a little too cringy because it really crossed the line between I'm hiring you to you'll do what I say because I. It would not fly today.
That is one big pile of shit.
Yeah, that's what that is. Do you got any tomato meters on this bad boy? Or
Oh, do I have a tomato meter?
Okay, I'm going to take a wild stab in the dark. I'm going to say tomato meter is in the 48 range.
Three.
Oh, damn.
Three.
Have we ever done a movie where the tomato meter was three?
Well, we had a movie where the tomato meter was zero.
Ooh.
But this is the first one that is in the single digits with multiple responses.
Wow.
To top it off, the audience meter is only 53. Yeah, 53. I watched this movie when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe I cringed back then. It came out in 1982. And for those of us that grew up watching the news in the 70s and all that, this was just kind of beyond cringe. I mean, in the 70s, we still had a lot of hate crimes going on and stuff like that. And we kind of grew up with that. Now, Richard Pryor does make it funny.
Yeah, no, he does. He's the only really redeeming part of the whole movie, really.
Yeah. I mean, Jackie Gleason is not. I mean, I love Jackie Gleason.
Yeah. Smokey the Bandit. Yeah.
But the only redeeming thing in this whole movie is Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
And knowing that he signed off on the movie kind of makes it better, but 3%, guys.
Yeah, that's rough.
Not worth watching.
Nope. Alrighty. So next on our list of... This one is more of a technicality, so this is going to be a little bit lighter. This is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
And I am absolutely cringing at you bringing this up.
Well, okay. I put this on the list because with today's technology, I don't think this movie could happen. Because Ferris would have an iPhone or a phone that could be tracked. Half the time you're doing virtual classrooms. And you could not get away with that stuff. It's basically a technicality. I do not think that with today's technology, this would be viable. Mm. Other than that, I mean, and this is absolutely one of my favorite movies of all time.
Matthew Broderick, Alan Ruck, Mia Sara, Jennifer Grey. Oh my!
Before her nose job.
Jeffrey Jones.
Yeah, I couldn't have him in that movie today.
I love that guy though.
Edie McClurg. I love Edie McClurg in this movie. Oh my god, I love it. And Ben Stein.
Oh yeah, Ben. Wait. Here it is.
Bueller.
Cindy Pickett was in it as well. Cindy Pickett was great.
Yes, is Katie Bueller. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The mom.
Well, no, I mean, and the dad, Lemon Ward. Dude, yeah. He is so good. He's so clueless. Charlie Sheen's one of his best bit parts ever. Yeah, it is a great movie. I think as on technical, like you can't do that. The kids are so able to be tracked. There's security cameras. I don't think it could happen today. It is only an 80s movie. Like if you did it as a period piece today, maybe it would fly, but you couldn't do it in modern times, basically. So it's kind of a technicality movie.
Here's a clip. Oh, wait. Before we do the clip.
Yes.
Sorry, I have to mute the commercial. Before we do the clip, 81 tomato meter.
I believe it. Audience is probably more in the 90s.
I think it's 92.
Fair enough.
Here's Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while. You could miss it.
What is so dangerous about a character like Ferris Bueller is he gives good kids bad ideas.
Well, why should he get to skip school when everybody else has to go?
Syphilitic meningitis.
He never gets caught.
This guy in my biology class said that if Ferris dies, he's giving his eyes to Stevie Wonder.
Well, he's very popular, Ed.
I recall Central Park in fall.
Ferris Bueller, do you know him?
Yeah, he's getting me out of summer school.
They think he's a righteous dude.
Think he'll be alive this weekend?
I can see him denying popular beliefs, setting off on some impossible mission.
Jeopardizes my ability to effectively govern this student body.
He does whatever he wants.
You know, as long as I've known him, everything works for him.
Whatever he wants.
He's very cool.
And he never gets nailed.
Ferris can do anything.
Oh, he's such a sweetie.
Wake up and smell the coffee, Mrs. Bueller. It's a fool's paradise. He is just leading you down the primrose path.
Matthew Broderick.
Bueller. Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Because life is too beautiful a thing to waste.
Dude, there were like five scenes that never made it to the movie. And
I know, I know.
What the hell? Oh my God. Now I want to see all the outtakes.
Can this movie be remade?
If it was a period piece, yes. Could it be? Could Ferris Bueller be made in these days? In modern times, as a modern movie, probably not. Because let's face it, the family in that upscale place would have security cameras and all that kind of crap on there. When you show up at the police department with your daughter, there's a little more shit going on than they just let her go and it's all fine. I mean, there's just, you know, I understand it's a farce and it's a comedy and everything, but it's just too many technical things today that wouldn't fly.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. And I can agree. If it was set in this time, yeah. Couldn't be done.
Like, I don't know that anybody uses school buses anymore.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I guess it's a burp button now. Sorry.
That's all I gotta say. It's kind of a technicality. It's like, yeah, probably not.
Yeah, this one's tough because this is really a classic. 81, 92. It's.
Would a father with a Ferrari not have a security system on his house?
Nowadays, no. But. It's the 80s.
Yeah. Alrighty. Let's move on, my friend.
What do you have?
This one, and this is another. We've talked about this film. We've got soundtracks we play from this film. This is Revenge of the Nerds.
Ooh.
You know the one scene I'm talking about in this one that would not let it fly?
Well, there's several, but
the nudity.
I was going to say the wasn't it like a, oh no, was it the panty raid? No.
No. When the nerd grabs the Darth Vader mask and pretends to be the popular cheerleader's boyfriend and has sex with her while wearing the mask. Today, that would be straight up rape.
Ooh. Dude, you're killing my childhood.
You wanted to do this list, man. I'm just pointing out the little tidbits that make it bad. And the film is cute. I mean, we've played music from this film. For the most part, it's hilarious. It's, you know, nerds versus the jocks. It's like, you know, the underdog story. You want them to win. And except for that scene, it's a fun movie. I like the movie. You would have to cut that whole thing. I don't even know how you would get the nerd and the popular girl together exactly. It'd have to be some major, major rewrites for that whole little plot twist to happen.
Dude, you're absolutely killing some of the best movies of my childhood. I mean,
to crush your dreams, man. That's my golden life.
You're knocking out 16 Candles. You're knocking out
you're getting ahead of yourselves. Come on, man.
Of flicks.
I'm just saying, man. Like, could you write that movie and have it fly today?
All right, starring Robert Carradine, Anthony Edwards, Ted McGinley, Timothy Busfield, Andrew Cassas, Curtis Armstrong.
Booger.
Who else is in there? Larry B. Scott, Julia Montgomery, John Goodman, Bernie Casey.
Who was the main jock who ended up going on to Married with Children? The blonde guy. Can't remember now. Yeah, I mean, a lot of good players.
Yeah, I'm not seeing him listed.
Old please. Da 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 da. Timothy Busfield. He went on to do 30 something for a long time. Ted McGinley. Sam Gable.
Yes.
Yeah, he went on to be Marcy's second husband. Bernie Casey. Bernie Casey's great. The weird thing about this movie is, like, the whole race thing, not an issue.
It wasn't about race. It was more about nerds.
Rape. Just to put it mildly, rape.
Nerds.
Yeah. Nerds. Brian Tachi is Takashi. I loved him. And Curtis Armstrong, oh my God. Better Off Dead. Just a ton of stuff. I love him in that.
Okay, so the whole rape thing bothers me. But God's honestly, the whole thing was about nerds like us getting laid. Oh, shit. We're fucked. 71. 71 on the tomato meter, 73 audience.
Yeah. All right. Just to make it even worse.
I don't want to hear anymore.
The same scenario in 16 Candles.
Is that the next one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
fuck. Oh, yeah.
John Hughes is turning in his grave.
Well, he should endure. Molly Ringwald, Anthony Michael Hall.
Long Duck Dong.
Giddy Watanabe. Oh, I kind of wreck it. And if he's not a little on the racist side, sure it is. Yeah, you get the whole, she's drunk, take her, have sex with her, and she'll love you in the morning thing. Not a great plot point.
But, okay, hold on. I think the whole point in this movie was not about him having sex with her. I think the whole point in this movie was him advancing out of
geekdom into people liking him.
Despair.
Yeah, but
I mean, God's honestly, he was just showing his his prize underwear that he got from a woman.
That part of the movie's fine. That's fine. I'm okay with that.
Where do you have the problem?
Okay, so Jake's girlfriend, who he hates, he packs her off in a car with Anthony Michael Hall.
Yes.
She is totally obliterated.
Yeah.
He says, do whatever you want to her. She'll never know because she's drunk.
Yes.
Pretty sure that might be the definition of rape. Not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that if you take advantage of a woman while she is under the influence and she doesn't know who you are, that's bad.
If I remember correctly from this movie, all I remember is the scene of her waking up and breaking up with her boyfriend. Did they have sex?
Oh, yeah, because he even goes, did we do what I think we did last night? And he's like, uh-huh. Yeah, it's there. When she's like, I think I kind of liked it. Oh, okay, you were fucked up. That's just wrong.
John Hughes is a dick.
Sorry, man. Like, it's not horrible, but it's not good, man.
My favorite director from the 80s has to be ostracized, and all his movies must be erased.
No, just forget about that one. We don't talk about that one.
Damn.
All right, we got time for this one here. All right, I saw this movie years ago. This is a Scott Baio film called Zapped.
This is a flick I've never seen.
Well, I have. It was. If it was lucky, it was a B movie. You got Willie Ames, who was in It Is Enough, I recall. Scott Baio was in it. Robert Mandan from Soap, Scatman Crothers, and a couple other people. But basically, Scott Baio gets these psychic powers and can lift girls' skirts up. But that is not the worst part of the movie. There is a section in this party or this movie where Peyton, which is played by Willie Ames, dupes a woman into having sex with him under the guise of being someone else. We're in the same boat as the last three movies here. It's like date rape is just not a good thing to have in a movie. Just, you couldn't get away with that crap today. And the premise is pretty flimsy. I mean, it was just not a great movie to begin with. And then you throw that in there, you're like, that's bad.
Tomato meter, 6.
No, I was going 15. Audience is probably
23.
39. Yeah. Like I said,
not good.
Not good. Not good at all.
I haven't seen it.
Don't bother. You're not missing nothing.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even show it on reruns. That's how bad that flick is.
You know what's scary? Robert J. Rosenthal wrote it, directed it.
What else did he do? Let's look him up real quick. Line of Fire, Zapped, Malibu Beach, The Pom Pom Girls.
I have Malibu Beach and Zapped.
Yeah, he didn't have, well, let's see. Let's expand his writing. Oh, no, yeah. He's got all the five writing things and two directors. Yeah.
And Malibu Beach, his other show.
Yeah, that looks like a quality piece of work there.
There's almost DNA. Almost as good as Spring Break.
You got James Doughton, who was the jackhole in Animal House.
Yes.
The jerk in Animal House. That's about the only name person I see in that whole movie. Good God. But anyway. So yeah, in the same boat. So, sir, find us some music to cruise out of here on, and we are down to 1, 2, 3, 4, down to our last five.
Yeah, I have to go pee. We'll be right back. Bye.
Solo karaoke. This is the song.
Skipping and jumping in the misty morning fog with all my hearts a thumping and you, my brown eyed girl. Tuesday and so slow. Gone down the old man with a transistor radio. Standing in the sunlight laughing, hiding behind a rainbow's wall. Slipping and sliding all along the waterfall with you, a brown-eyed girl.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
On our next podcast, Songs That Can't Be Made Today, starring Sublime.
Yeah.
Although, any song with a tuba solo, it's okay with me.
So unfortunately for Burke, it took me a little bit of time to get back here. We're opening boxes in the garage.
To find stuff to throw away?
Just to figure out where the fuck it needs to go.
In the trash?
So one of the boxes that they opened up was stuff from my dad.
Oh.
That my dad packed up and shipped right before he died. So I'm like, okay, what is it? What is it? There's this Merlin, pewter Merlin, on top of like purple quartz.
Oh, wow.
Holding a sphere. It was really cool. I was like, damn, Dad sent that to me. Then there was, do you remember Fraggle Rock?
Oh, yeah. That was a Henson program, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, Fraggle Rock came out, and I was totally infatuated with them. And one of my projects at school, pottery projects, was that I made a Doozer head.
Was it a Doozer or Dozer? Doozer?
It was Doozer.
Okay.
The Doozer head is like that fucking big and weighs like 4 pounds. The old man packed it up in like bubble wrap and sent it to me. I'll post a picture of it. Yeah, my dad was he was a great man. Yeah. Bought great cars.
Great vans.
Freaking minivan with the V6 in it. V6 turbo. Scott, you gotta have power.
I got to drive that once and it was a blast. I gotta get something for my house. It's 30 miles away and I need it in 10 minutes. I got you, fam. Give me the dad's van.
It is the only Dodge Caravan I've ever found that had twin turbos in it with a V6. He had the twin turbos added, and Burke drove it after the twin turbos were put in.
It was fucking hilarious. Like, oh, I like this. Maybe vans don't suck. Faster than every car I've ever driven at this point in my life.
God, I love that man. And he put up with my mother. And no. Anyways, hey, we're on our next show. I think I've seen this flick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now that I've read the description and all that, see Thomas Howell
in Soul Man.
This was
This one's pretty easy. This one's got a big old target on it. So the very white I'm just reading the storyline from IMDb. The very white California kid Mark Watson is a result of his self-made millionaire father refusing to pay tuition for him to attend prestigious Harvard Law School. Mark's only hope rests in a full scholarship intended for an African-American applicant and a bunch of tanning pills. Now, with his curly perm and dark complexion, Mark can fraudulently make his dream come true. No. No. You can't do black. No. Like Robert Downey Jr. kind of got away with it. Because he was an actor playing a black man. So it's pushing the boundaries. This one, not in a fucking million years would you ever be able to do this damn film again? Nope. You got any tomato meters on this bad boy?
Yeah.
I'm guessing single digits, maybe?
13.
Ooh, wow. Better than I thought.
Audience score was 34.
Ooh, wow.
Unless they were from Canada. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trudeau and blackface coming. Sorry.
Yeah. That movie is such an easy target. Now,
I don't even have anything to say to this because I'm
not gonna go there.
Nope.
The next one's a pretty big target. Also, this is the movie Porky's from 1981. It's just. It's got a whole mess of little things in there. I mean, the gratuitous boobs and naked women. Okay, whatever. It's an 80s movie. The way they handle sex and the way they talk about women, and it's just not kosher. And then you had the whole subplot where they had the Jewish guy in there. And, like, they were, like, downright mean to him. But then all of a sudden, like, when he was useful, then they accepted him. Not because being good to everybody is good. No, he was useful. So now we're going to be nice to him. So you got bigotry. You got horrible ethics about sex. You've got kids peeking into underage girls in high school through the AI. There's just a whole mess of.
Now, I will say.
Hell no.
I will say. Khaki Hunter played Wendy.
Kim Cattrall was the phys ed teacher. That was when she was in her maximum oddness, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
As far as the content goes, Porky's was basically what we would call soft porn.
Yeah, you could go that. Yeah, I mean, it was probably that borderline R.
Yeah.
into X. Yeah, it was.
Kim Cattrall naked. Now, with that being said, could it be made? No. The interesting fact is that the tomato meter.
Oh, it's probably in the 40 or 50% mark, isn't it?
34.
Yeah.
The audience score.
56?
57.
Once again, your memory is better than reality sometimes when it comes to 30 or 40 years ago.
Now I grew up with the Porky's movies. I don't know how I feel about this. They were funny as shit.
Yeah, no, they had some good comedy. But a lot of it was at the expense of other people, and it was just not kosher. You know what I mean?
No.
I mean, you had them all out in that shack trying to, like, what was the line?
The one scene I always remember is the shower scene where they drilled holes into the wall.
Yeah. But they're out in that shack and they're trying to, like, hook up with this girl, and, like, the main character Pee-wee is, like, realizing he's gonna be the fifth person in line, so I'll just scrape her up off the mattress. Like, oh, that's just fucking disgusting. And then her big black boyfriend comes in acting like a stereotypical black man. It's like, Yeah, no, that's just, no. Couldn't do it.
I'm saddened by this, but I will have to agree.
Yeah.
All right, next up.
Police Academy, of all things.
What the hell do you...
Well,
the hell you say?
You got a little bit...
It's Police Academy.
Okay. Do you think you can make that same movie today, is the question.
The hell, that's for white people.
Yeah, could you have Bubba Smith playing the kind of dumb black
hell
guy?
Yes. Hell yes.
Could you have the female sergeant basically kind of raping one of the he was willing, but anyway.
Everything was consensual in Police Academy.
But in today's Blue Lives Matter, could you get away with showing the cops in a bad light?
Yes. Yes. Just to ask Steve Guttenberg. And I'm going to tell you right now, half the audience agrees. 64% with the audience meter. 57 with the tomato meter, which...
And the funny thing is, Michael Winslow, the guy that does all the special effects with his voice, they kind of found him and just wrote him in as a character because he could do all that. So they kind of rewrote half the movie just to put him in there, which I'm all down with that, because then he showed up in Spaceballs and was awesome. I love G.W. Bailey, the lieutenant.
Oh, yeah.
He's so good. Hey, it's Kim Cattrall again. Look at that. She showed up in a lot of those borderline movies, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. G.W. Bailey was probably my favorite character in this, though.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds you of, like, Private Benjamin, Eileen Brennan. I'm going to be a dick, and I'm going to teach you the right way to do things, and all of a sudden I'm hurt, and you're going to do it on your own. Yeah,
Sergeant Holka.
Yeah.
Our big toe, Sergeant Holka.
See, I hate to slam this movie, because Steve Guttenberg, who's not big anymore, really kind of made these movies fun. And no,
he played it right. He played it kind of innocently. I mean, he was not a real malicious character in the movie. He just had a fun streak in him, and you know, yeah. I there really isn't many Guttenberg movies I don't like, come to think of it.
And Hightower, played by Bubba Smith,
little really, stereotypical.
You know, stereotypical, but he wasn't stupid. He wasn't. He was a big man who could hold his own. I think the biggest problem that you run into is with what's her name?
Marion Ramsey is the mousy little.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems to be a little bit on the raunchy side.
Now, but the really weird thing is, this movie was actually based on an actual occurrence. There was a time in LA where they had such a shortage of policemen that they broadened the ability of applicants, like, you know, older, younger, more overweight. They actually let in a whole bunch of these kind of misfits into the program. So it was kind of a commentary on what was going on in LA at the time. So You got that going on the plus side for this movie. It's poking fun at stupidity in government. So I'm okay with that aspect of it.
Yeah. Shit. Maintenance in progress.
Well, on your computer?
Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh. No bueno.
I may not have
any more tomatoes.
Yeah.
That's all right. We get the IMDb's. It's all good.
Yep. Can't even find the next movie. So, yeah. Okay, so Police Academy, I don't necessarily agree with. I think it could be done. Well, here, we're in that same category with Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, this is an iffy one.
You know, it depends on the timeline. So,
could it be done today and set in current day? I guess.
And I think it could, because stupidity still lives.
Okay.
But, you know, leave it up to the audience. All right, what's your next one?
This one pains me. Pains me. Because this is one of my favorite movies of all time. Animal House. National Lampoon's Animal House. 1978. John Landis as director. Writers Harold Ramis, Doug Kenny, and Chris Miller. Starring John Belushi, Karen Allen, Stephen Furst, Mark Metcalf, Martha Smith. There's James Doughton again. Kevin Bacon in his first movie appearance ever. Tim Matheson, Bruce McGill, Peter Reigart, Donald Sutherland. I love this movie to death. Absolutely love this movie. There's one big old chunk you would have to take out of this bad boy.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Remember the, what was his name? Larry Kroger.
Yes.
The freshman. Remember, he hooks up with the mayor's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what she told him her age was at the end of the movie?
Yes.
14.
Yeah.
A college freshman and a 14-year-old. Nah, not gonna fly. Not gonna do it.
I know nothing. Nothing.
And I almost think that the scene where they go to the bar and see Otis Day and the Knights might have some issues with people today. Not quite sure. Might have some issues today.
Hey,
I know, right?
Hey, I'm going to play a clip.
Do it. Do it, man.
Brother Didi, Brother Bluto.
You ain't that yin yang.
Who?
Niedermeyer. You hate his guts, right?
I guess so.
You guess so?
Yes, I hate him. I hate his guts.
Look. Now, we have an old saying in Delta. Don't get mad, get even.
This was John Belushi at the top of his game, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
And most of this movie was all physical comedy. He did not have a whole hell of a lot of lines. He was just there doing stuff, and he was hilarious. Bring the horse into the dean's office.
Nice horse. Good. Come on, let's go. Go.
Who's in there? Oh boy, is this great!
Now finish it,
oh,
Father.
God.
Are you kidding? I never shot anything before in my life.
I thought you hated Niedermeyer's guts.
I do.
And what about that horse? Is there anything in the world you hate as much as that horse?
Get it over with, Kent.
Is that like a Colt 1911? What is that?
Oh, that was a 45.
Just blanks, right?
I forgot about this scene. There might be some animal cruelty too, man, thrown in for good measure. Points it at the ceiling.
Holy shit!
There were blanks in that gun!
I didn't even point the gun at him! Holy shit! There were blanks in that gun! Maybe he had a heart attack. Holy shit!
Grandfather, what did my grandfather do?
There's some freaking brilliant parts to this movie.
Oh yeah.
Could it be done again?
Once again, major,
hell no.
Major editing. I mean, it would just be,
hell no.
It'd be so diluted and sad.
Oh my God. Like I said, there's funny parts to this movie.
Oh yeah, I believe it.
91 on the tomato meter.
Probably 96 on the audience.
89.
Yeah. I love this movie, but I don't think it could get done again, man. Not in its original form.
No, but I think you have to put this film onto like a list, a high list of one of the best films ever filmed.
Oh yeah.
It's absolutely absurd
and funny as hell. And like most of the, like, this was Kenny's college career. I mean, it was just stories that of stuff that had happened to them that they put on film. It's like, oh dear God. The '60s were a quite different time.
Oh my God. All right, sir. What's your next?
We are at the very last one. And this is the movie we have talked about many times. And the reason that this list was made, because we have said for a long, long time, there is no way in hell that you can make Blazing Saddles today.
Oh, shit. Mel Brooks. There's a show coming up about all of Mel Brooks' films. I don't know what to say about this. Blazing Saddles was iconic growing up.
Oh yeah. Now, it sucked watching on TV because they cut out a lot of the N-words, they cut out most of the farts. But if you could see it in his original form, it was just hilarious.
The film is actually very Well, it's hilarious, man.
But you got a lot of white people saying the N-word.
Racist? Maybe.
I mean, the thing that really saves this movie is that all the racist people are really portrayed as ignorant, stupid people. And the smartest guy in the whole movie is Sheriff Bart.
Black guy.
Yeah.
Which is where I think Mel Brooks was extremely smart.
Oh, yeah.
About how he wrote the film. Here's the thing. Mel Brooks. Oh, God. I said it.
It's been a while, man. It felt good, man. Here's Don't worry about it. Roll with it.
Here's the thing. Mel Brooks, a Jewish.
Very Jewish.
Man. Producer, writer, all that stuff. A man that lived through the Holocaust. He wrote films that made fun of a lot of things that
made people very uncomfortable.
Nowadays, we find them uncomfortable, but freaking look at his life. Look at what he went through. He's making jokes about stuff that alleviates his life.
Mm-hmm. Now, he makes light of stuff that was bad oppression to him or badness. You got to remember, he wrote this in conjunction with Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
This was written by a Jewish guy and a black comedian. And it's like, and had Richard Pryor not been involved in the writing, this thing might not have gotten off the ground back in the day.
Yeah.
But when you got a guy named Richard Pryor going, no, you got to put the N-word in there. You got to put the N-word in there. And Richard Pryor almost played the part of Bart. He just did not have enough screen credits for the movie house to say, oh yeah, we'll put him in there. So they wanted somebody with a little more screen time, and that's why they got Cleavon Little. And Cleavon Little is brilliant in his part.
Cleavon Little and Gene Wilder.
Great team. Holy cow.
Play so well against each other.
Yep. Well, even Richard Pryor later in life, him and Gene Wilder did a mess of films together.
Yeah.
And they worked really well. I mean, it would have worked as well with Richard Pryor. It's just a little bit different with Cleavon Little. Cleavon did a great job.
I think people need to look at this film. And yes, it probably will never be made again. But in the 1970s, when this came out, what was it? 74. In the 1970s, when this came out, there was a lot of activism to kind of alleviate people from believing that black people were the devils. I mean, we were in a situation where the Watts riots had happened. Everyone was sitting there going, oh my God, black people are so bad. They're so bad. They're so bad. And this movie comes out. And Mel Brooks is so good at gauging what's going on at that point in time in the world. And this was written in a way to where, hey.
It was like, he's the nicest, best dude in the whole film. His best buddy is a white dude.
Yeah.
Like, white and black people get along and make good things happen because of their camaraderie is kind of an underlying theme in the movie.
Exactly. That, I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that at the time that this movie came out, it was needed.
Yeah. Yeah, you needed to make fun of a bad situation.
Yeah. You had to laugh.
But acknowledge the fact that it's a bad situation.
Exactly.
But bring it present. Yeah, it's a really weird fine line that he trod, where you want to bring this to light, but you don't want to piss off people, but you want to make it funny, but you don't want to offend people. Yeah, it's I think he did a great job.
It's so weird. And I guess when we come to the synopsis of all this, I it'll all culminate, but I hate to slam a movie that was so brilliantly written.
And I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm far from it. It is still one of my most favorite movies. I will watch it again and again and again. It's just in this climate, in this day of age, you just couldn't get this on film again.
The people that are 20 years old right now did not grow up seeing what we saw.
And we barely saw what we saw. I mean, I was pretty damn young back then, but yeah, it's like you knew it was in the background.
But I mean, we saw stuff that just, I mean, back in the 70s, we still had hangings. We still had stuff going on that was bad.
Yeah, the KKK was still in full force down south and doing Nazi shit.
Yeah. And this movie actually made it so that it didn't make light. I mean, oh God, how do I say this?
Yeah, I understand what you're trying to say. It's a difficult thing. It made you think about it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like super heavy. You know, it made fun of the people that should have been made fun of. Yeah, and back in the back in the Wild West, that's the way these people talked. I get it, but you know, you made sure that the audience understood. They're douchebags.
In 1974, I guess what I'm saying is that people don't get down on Mel Brooks. In 1974, Cleavon Little never would have gotten a job. He got a job with Mel Brooks, and they made light of a freaking lot of shit. And totally lightened up a situation that was going on at that point in time. And while this movie could not be made now, Mel Brooks did something to help society and help us through a situation to try to diffuse. Mm-hmm. What was going on. So, yeah.
Yeah, they were still working on civil rights in 1974. Just to put it in perspective.
Yeah. I'm so torn on this. Because
you don't have to dislike the movie for any reason. You can love this movie, and that's fine. It's just, you couldn't make it today.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
And I think maybe some people need to go back to this movie.
Oh yeah. Again, you get a chance, watch. If you've never seen it, watch it. Watch the uncut version.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth it.
Yeah. All right, guys. We're gonna take a break. I might get out to go smoke a cigarette. I don't know. Oh. Oh, hold on. Before we go.
Yes.
I should probably share.
Oh, God.
This day's almost over, people. thankfully. All right, people. We'll be right back.
Your tennis music, right?
Oh, hell no. This is Billy Myers.
Oh.
Hello. 80s.
Can you hear me?
Oh, I love it.
Hello.
Okay. I listen to this song every night driving home from work.
I'm trying to explain. Something's wrong. It just don't sound the same. Why don't you go outside? Go outside. Kiss the rain. Whenever you need me. Kiss the rain. Whenever I'm gone too long. If you're less, feel lonely and thirsty. Kiss the rain. I'm waiting for.
What the hell was that? Hey, people, I'm so sorry. You're gonna listen to this
song reset. You'll have to listen to it one more time.
I was sitting here listening to the song and I was like, what does this song do to relate to me? And I was like, maybe we need to do a show.
About your divorce?
Yeah, we're gone. Dude, I never talk about my divorce, do we?
No, no, never.
Sound the same. Why don't you go outside, kiss the rain.
Hey, are you sure I don't talk about my divorce?
No, you're fine. Absolutely. You're good, man. Don't worry about it. Okay.
Bitch.
What was her name again?
Sandy. Sandy Rodriguez, Rushmore Rodriguez, Gromit Rodriguez, Davis Rodriguez, Zeiger Rodriguez. I don't know what she is now.
You got her number off a bathroom wall, right?
Hello. Do you miss me?
Said something about Mount Rushmore and then had her phone number. Yeah.
You are.
I was smart.
It feels like you're so far.
After a while, yes.
when I got divorced.
Yeah, that's when you got smart.
My mind.
All right, guys, we'll be back.
We'll be right back.
Kiss the rain.
We didn't start the fire. Hey, hey. Perfect song to end this shit on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We hope that you all enjoyed our little foray into movies that some we like and some, yeah, no, heck no. Not no, but hell no. Hey, do you remember what we're doing next week?
Well, hang on. I have the list right here. That would be... No, I don't know.
Favorite museums and science centers.
Oh,
locations.
Shit.
Why you love them. Why you want to go see them. Places we've been. Places maybe we want to go to.
Yes.
That should be kind of fun.
Gonna be a fun show. Mm-hmm. Kind of a little bit on the lighter side.
After today, that's okay.
Fuck. We're evil.
Little roller coaster, you know. It's okay. Yeah. It's good. It's all good.
So we have a lot of shit coming up here. Pickaway Prison. Show is coming.
Oh, sweet.
It is coming. I have him talked into coming on for an hour and a half to discuss life after prison. Actually, I think we should call this Life Living with My Mother.
Compare and contrast. Prison, living with mom.
Mike's gonna come on. We're gonna have a good time. Yeah. Other than that, I'm hammered. I feel great. I'm gonna go to bed because I have to be at work.
Work in the morning. Oh,
in the morning.
That's going to be so pleasant. He takes another draw of his big old Yeti cup of alcoholic beverage. Your eyes are like slits.
No, I've had enough. I've had enough. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Davis and DavisShow.com.
And if you'd like some merch with some faces on it, and hopefully we'll have some laser etch stuff here sometime in the near future, the Davis and Davis Show.com.
God. Anything else we need to say before we go?
Good night, and don't let the bed bugs bite.
Shit. I'm old. I'm tired. All right, people. Thank you for coming out, listening.
Hey, well, we'll talk to you later.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.
mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.